International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. So excited that you've joined me today from all over the world. And as I say every week, if you are listening to this recording, it is a setup. And in fact, the Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can hear the solutions, the answers, and the revelation that you really have been praying about, thinking about, searching for, so that you can live an abundant and prosperous life. Well, how are you doing today? I hope that you are having a great week, and of course that you're having a great day. And we all know that we all can have great days. It's just a matter of choice. And as I say every week, every day I get up, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I've been through, I always say, this is a day that God has made. I'm going to rejoice, be happy, be grateful, and be glad in it. And that's just a mantra in the way that I live my life. Well, it's been a great week for me, a busy week for me. Beautiful but cold weather here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm just excited about the show today. So the show is going to be in two parts today. Part one, I'm going to have a listener share how he found the Law of Attraction Radio Network and how listening to the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show has really shifted and changed his life. I'm not his coach. He's just a listener who just loves the show. And then we're going to have another great guest for you in part two. But before we listen to those wonderful guests, I just want to remind you to go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I would love to coach with you. I'm coaching with people on six continents. That's right. It doesn't matter where you live, we can coach. A lot of people say, well, I live in Australia. That is no problem. I live in Tokyo. That is no problem. So if you're interested in shifting and changing your life, you can email me at Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And of course, you know, I have other wonderful tools for you, the affirmations. You know, when you change what you think, you change your world. I have affirmations on prosperity, on love, on attracting love, my ebook on attracting genuine love in your life in 2015. And I just made a decision. I'm going to spend a whole program talking about how to do that, etc. So once again, that's fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, I have a very special guest with me. I am not his coach. His name is Kevin Riddle. And Kevin kept sending me emails about how wonderful the show is and how his life is changing and how he's having wonderful manifestations. And I just wanted him to come on and share with you today. So, Kevin Riddle, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So where are you calling from, Kevin?
I am calling from cold New York, right off of Lake Ontario. I am at Fort Drum, New York, about 30 miles from Canada.
Well, I just want to thank you personally for myself and all of our listeners in the U.S. for really serving our country, and we just really appreciate you.
Oh, it's an honor. It's an honor.
So, Kevin, what's the story? What's the deal? How did you find my show?
Okay. So, one Saturday morning, I woke up and I just had this hunger and this thirst to find the answers to life, find some new strategies to move me towards the things that I'm desiring in my life, and didn't know really where to turn. And so I started watching motivational videos to kind of get me started. And I started with Les Brown, and that led me to Zig Ziglar and Earl Nightingale and Napoleon Hill. And I was led to finally your video popped up.
Hmm.
All those greats gave me great information and practical tools, but it wasn't connecting. It wasn't resonating with me. And I believe the Spirit of God really led me to your show, because when I saw that first show, when I listened to that first show, I heard first an angelic voice. Your voice is just angelic.
Thank you. I wish you would tell my friends that, Kevin, but keep going.
You're welcome. But that voice, and then I just began to hear the strategies and ways to apply things to my life by listening to your show. So I wasn't really overloaded with information, but also got practical strategies, and that really drew me to your show. So I want to say thank you for that.
Yes.
And that's pretty much how I discovered you.
Well, you know, thank you for saying that, because when the Spirit of God really led me to start doing the show, I see God knows my makeup, Kevin, and I'm a strategist. I'm a counselor, but then the other part of me is business. And so we are inundated with information, but I really love it that our shows are how mm-hmm. to move from this, how to do this, how to implement in your life. So do you have any special shows that you just love that have really helped you? And okay.
Oh, let me tell you. Peter Adams, Visual Festation, one of my favorite shows. I highly encourage your listeners to go listen to that over and over and over and over again. Interviews with Dr. Dennis Kimbrough.
Mm.
I love that guy. I love those shows. I actually went back into your archive 5 years ago and pulled some of the interviews you did with him, Dr. George Frazier.
Yeah.
I think those are my top three.
Okay.
And Dr. Jazz, the interview you did with Dr. Jazz.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I really like that one.
And you know, mm-hmm. Kevin, you never know what show is going to resonate with you. You know, mm-hmm. like you said, you were listening to Les Brown. I love Les. He's awesome. Got it going on. But I believe that God just has certain people that mm-hmm. resonate with you. And, you know, you mentioned my voice, and people always tell me that. And I believe that God gave me the angelic, calming, soothing voice to really attract people to the show so that they would be open to really hear what the Spirit has to say.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about some manifestations. What has happened in your life? What kind of principles have you utilized to really shift and change your life? And we want to hear about all those manifestations that's going on.
Oh man, where do I start? 2014 was an awesome year. Again, I recently discovered you around late 2013, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was snowed in. I was actually snowed in up here. And so that's when I found you. But I'll start with the intangibles. First, more love. More love. There was a show, someone was talking about the law of attraction, and they were talking about how to get more, receive more things in your life. You have to give more. So I began to look for more love. Look to give more love in my life and in different relationships, work relationships, friendships, and especially my marriage. And when I begin to do that, I also begin to turn to the Word, and I begin to look for God's unconditional love for me. And once I realize that God approved of me unconditionally and that He loves me, not that He loved ED, but He mm-hmm. loves me, that really just gave me more peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it just snowballed to more peace. And then for more peace, a peace that surpassed all understanding, a confidence that can't be taken or shaken by man, that led to a gratitude. Because then I was able to appreciate what was already in my life. And then that just led to the law of gratitude. I mean, it was just like a teaching thing that just kept snowballing. And so when I began to apply the law of gratitude in my life and be thankful for all the things that I had in my life, the love, the peace, the material things, I tell you what, more things begin to manifest. And some of the material things would include a promotion on the job last year.
Mm-hmm.
For more love, of course, I got a new baby who's due any moment now.
Oh, my God. I hope not doing this recording.
I hope not either, but at any moment she could come. And with that expansion to the family, we needed more space. So we began to believe and pray, and here we go. We managed to manifest a new SUV. a free trip to Orlando for our anniversary this year in May.
Wow.
And I set a goal to create three passive streams of income this year, and I've already created one, and it is growing right before my eyes. And I just thank God for all these things. And I tell you what, appreciating and beginning to use some of the techniques, which I'll get into in a second here, from some of the things that you explained on your show, it really helped me in my personal life.
Wow,
but
that's
it wasn't
amazing.
Until I started. Yes, it wasn't until I started applying what you were saying, because I one show you said you can listen all day, but I want to challenge you to go apply these things that I'm teaching, these things that I'm speaking about.
So what techniques? I mean, that's amazing, because you know the principle is you can listen, but it's only when something becomes revelation, when you own it, and when you own something, and when you know something, you're in the military, you understand this, then you can take action. So what techniques have really helped you that you've learned from the show?
Okay, the first technique that I learned from the show, vision boards. I can't stress enough, I can't magnify the importance of first visualizing the things, material or immaterial, that you desire. It is so important. I have a physical vision board that's in my study, and I also have a digital study vision board that I take with me everywhere, and it's called Instagram. My Instagram is loaded with things that I, with things, you know, love, peace, quotes, and material and immaterial things that I desire in my life. And I always look at it and I always like and become reminded. My vision board has my retirement mapped out. It tracks my yearly goals, family, spiritual, career goals. It keeps me focused and aware of my that the kingdom of God is within me, because sometimes we can forget that.
Mm-hmm.
We're human, you know. And doing the vision board, it'll cause you to shift from believing and depending on what you see as being factual to really and confidently believing and depending on what you cannot physically see. And so the vision boards really keep you on track, as keep your eyes on the prize, so to speak. You know what I mean?
So that's
and
so
then,
powerful. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And then what else have you utilized?
Okay, the last two, I utilize daily affirmations.
Mm.
I went on your website, www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and I purchased a success affirmation and a self-love affirmation, and I use very often. I do affirmations daily. And I believe that you have to make time for the things that matter. Affirmations matter. I believe Dr. Cindy Trim calls it commanding your morning. What are affirmations? You know, I have to remember that affirmations are basically the act of replacing my negative words and thoughts and speaking with positive words, thoughts, and speaking. And I know that words are so powerful. So this is why I believe the affirmations work. I see it working in my life. And then lastly, there's meditation.
Mm.
Meditation. Okay, now this one is hard for me. Honestly, this one is hard for me. Being in the military, my life, it's so demanding. Time is so precious, and I'm so regimented.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting down and actually just letting go, releasing control, taking a scripture and going to my quiet place and really just clearing my thoughts for 5 minutes. I challenge myself to start small. 5 minutes has been a challenge, but I've seen the benefit from it already just from doing it 5 minutes a day.
And you know, Kevin, you know, I'm going to say to you and everybody else who's listening, start with 5 minutes and then incrementally increase it. 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. And I know you're very busy. You know, you're in the military. You have a wife. You got a baby, you know, that's due any moment. So that's a lot in your thinking, but your meditation. Somebody asked me a question. I spoke last week and they asked me, you know, what would be the top thing that I would say to people? And I would say, meditate to get truth and scriptures on the inside of you. And then once you do that, you will know how to act. So meditation is right there at the top for me.
Oh, yeah. And one thing that I learned was it's just so important, because, you know, I used to think growing up, you know, hey, meditation, that sounds kind of spooky, sounds kind of weird. Not for me.
Mm-hmm.
didn't realize how important it was, and that the Word of God actually instructs us to meditate. I didn't realize that as a young man. Well, I still am a young man, but as a teenager is what I mean. And when I saw the scripture said, meditate day and night, he that meditates on the Word day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and yield fruit in season, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Man, I really understood the importance of meditating at that point. So that revelation came to me.
Well, you know, Kim, I am so grateful. Anything else, I am so grateful. You are exhibit A of a guy who is not normal, but you have all of the responsibilities that a lot of us have. But you listen to the show. How often do you listen to the show?
Oh, I listen to the show daily. Let me tell you, in the car, in the shower, for breakfast. Sometimes my wife will come downstairs and say, good morning, baby. Good morning, Constance.
That is so funny. Make sure you tell her I said hello. And
I will.
And you know, and I asked you that because just from all of the things that have manifested in your life, I knew that you had been spending a lot of time listening, taking notes, and then acting on what you heard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, anything else you want to share with the world tonight? You're going global today, Kevin, about
global.
How the show has really changed you. And what advice would you give people?
I would just say, once again, I like to highlight the fact that listening is great. Sometimes you have to listen to certain shows 3 or 4 times because you can't digest everything in one sitting. It's like a big meal. Mm-hmm. Each show is like a big meal. Sometimes you have to take little bites and digest them. But I tell you what, if you would just take some of the practices that you're getting from this show and just try to implement it in a small way, if it's too much for you, just try to implement it in a small way, you will begin to see radical changes in your life. I mean, just from a small implementation of something that you've been given, you'll see a radical change. And that's what encourages me to continue the practices. That's what encourages me. Her show encourages me to go back to my spiritual basis, the Holy Word, and read and apply, and I just you'll have a transformational experience.
Wow, well, Kevin, thank you so much, and I just really appreciate you. I'm so excited about the continued manifestations that are going to occur in you and your wife's life, and just so grateful to God for you coming on the show today.
Well, I really appreciate you having me. And I tell you what, this is an opportunity of a lifetime, and this is not the last time the world will hear my voice.
I'm with you. I'm in agreement with you. Well, hey, listen, everybody, that was really great. We're going to go to these quick commercials, and then I'm going to be right back with my very special guest.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com. Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I am back, and I hope that you enjoyed that wonderful testimony from Kevin, and just really excited to hear from listeners all over the world. So if you would like to share with me your testimony about how the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show is really shifting and changing your life, of course, you know that you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, I am excited. It is Valentine's weekend. It's the Love Weekend all over the world globally. And so today we're going to be talking about L-O-V-E love. And my very special guest is Miss Lisa Marie Jenkins. And Lisa Marie is the author of Wake Up Beauty, It's Not the Prince. And basically, Lisa gives the reader a deep journey inward to live a more powerful life outwardly. You know, I always say it's an inside job. This book is for any woman, I'm going to say any person, that believes her happiness and her wholeness comes from a romantic partner. It is a wake-up call to anyone who either keeps looking for love or has found love and still feels as if something is missing in their lives. And she will provide the catalyst to start seeking another ending to the fairy tale stories. And all of us women understand those fairy tale stories. And so, Lisa Marie Jenkins, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you, Constance. I have to tell you, I actually got chills and a little teary-eyed when you were talking about love and spelt L-O-V-E, which is a perfect segue into the book, because I think so often we think that love is exclusively for romance or our families, as opposed to the energy, the vibe that we give out every day and how we interact with people. And most importantly, loving ourselves. So that
so
was
true.
And there's so much emphasis put on Valentine's Day, right?
That it is. I know a lot of people are just sort of depressed, but tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and then we'll get started. What great city are you calling from?
So I'm calling from Tampa Bay, Florida. I've been a Tampa resident for 25 years. It's sunny and a bit cold here today for us.
I know the feeling. And tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and your journey.
Well, let's see. I've spent over 23 years in senior sales and marketing roles in high-tech Fortune 500 companies, but I have been a huge yoga practitioner for about 10 years and on a very deep spiritual journey, I will say, for 15 years, awakening each year with greater, deeper layers. And I really came into knowing that I wanted to work with women. I wanted to go out and speak. I wanted to teach training. I wanted to work with emerging women leaders and coach women.
Wow. And the subject of love and women, my goodness, I struggled with this whole thing of love and attracting love and relationships for years until, like you, spiritually, I really had a spiritual encounter with God about, number one, you know, just the love that surrounds me by the Spirit and then loving myself. So let's get started. Yeah. Wake up. It's not about the prince. You just slapped a lot of people.
I have had people say that to me, actually. They're like, what? Well, I don't want to know that. I'm like, well, you're not ready, but you will. So I think the whole title comes from, for me, if I had to give a real title to the book, mm-hmm. It wasn't very sexy, so I didn't use it, but it was really, I'm so okay without a man. Mm-hmm. And meaning that I had to realize that I'm whole. And I'm enough all by myself, and I'm actually the one I've always been waiting for. And I had a teacher I worked with several years ago, and we were talking about a relationship, and I was all brokenhearted over it ending and really struggling to move past it. And he really wasn't even a very nice man, to add to that, right? And she looked at me one day, and she said, honey, she said, don't you know the biggest, fattest lie you've ever been told is Sleeping Beauty did not wake up when the prince kissed her. Sleeping Beauty went to sleep on herself and her own passion and purpose and worth because she believed romantic love was supposed to provide that to her. So right. She said, so we go to sleep on ourselves because we've been so conditioned, and our society and the media and everything says you have to have a partner to be fulfilled and to be okay, when in fact, all a partner can ever be to us is sprinkles on top.
So true. And, you know, we're not male bashing.
No.
Men.
Yes, men struggle with this too, not to the same right. degree as women, but certainly do struggle with it as well.
And so it's so interesting because why do you think women go to sleep? I know I'm thinking about my own life. I was so professional and had it going on professionally.
Me too.
In the area of relationships, I struggle. Why do you think that we are asleep to our own passion, purpose, and self-worth?
Oh, wow. I think there's so many layers to that question, Constance, but I think to start with it begins with upbringing. And I actually think we carry some outdated DNA with us. If you go back to centuries and centuries, a woman's physical safety and well-being relied on having a male partner, right? Because he was bigger and stronger and literally you had to have a male to help you survive physically and the hardships of life. And so I think we still carry that in our DNA, just like we still carry the fight or flight type of response. Even though there's no saber-toothed tiger chasing us, we can still go into reaction as if something is that fearful when it's just a thought in our head. So I think it's that. I think it's conditioning that we see, you know, you look at the media around us. Look at all the matchmaking going on online, right? There are probably 10 different sites now where you can find your Prince Charming or your princess or whatever you're looking for. But I think it's a belief also too, and especially in Western culture, we are really taught to look outside of ourselves for fulfillment. We're really taught to look for validation outside of us to be okay with ourselves. And it's a rabbit hole. It's a never ending bottomless pit, because you might get a little bit of that feel good, but it never lasts. So then you go out for more, and it can range from anything to, I mean, why do you think we're a culture of such addiction as well? I mean, it can be more power, it can be more money, it can be a bigger house, it can be a better job, it can be when I have the right partner, when I lose 20 pounds, it can be whatever. We put off our fulfillment and going inward because we think that we're supposed to find it outward. Mm-hmm. And inward is a hard journey. It's really not very fulfilling and it's not very satisfying, but it is much easier to live on the shallows of life, right? And not really take the introspection and the time and the journey inward, because you might have to look at some dark places within yourself, or some places that aren't so comfortable, places where you've been wounded that you need to bring back up and heal and release. And so sometimes it's easier to stay on the surface for most people, but there's no way out of that until you go in.
No way. I learned that. And, you know, this weekend is the release of, I think it's 50 Shades of Grey. People are standing in line all over the world because it's supposed to be this love and romantic movie. And I'm not judging that, but I'm just simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, it is never outside of you. It's always on the inside.
And you know what? I have to make a comment about that, because it was probably when the book was at its peak, and I was taking a trip across country, and I got on one plane on the West Coast, and I bought the book in the airport because I'm like, everyone's reading this, everyone's crazy about it. So I bought the book, I got on the plane, I started reading that. And she's a genius writer, because she's a page turner. She keeps you in suspense to keep the pages turning. I got off in Houston to change planes, and I looked at that book and I said, you know, that book is not about love. That book is about gratuitous sex. Mm-hmm. It's about control. It's about dementedness being played out through sex. And I was like, this is dark. And I was like, I wouldn't even give this book to anybody. And I threw it in the garbage can and I got on my next flight. So that makes me sad that people are so consumed that they can even think that kind of sex has anything to do with love.
Right. So true. So how can people begin? How can women begin to let go of what no longer serves them? You and I know women who are in loveless relationships, in relationships that are codependent and dysfunctional. How can we begin to let go of what no longer serves us?
Gosh, Constance, and you know, I talk to people almost every, I talk to women almost every day stuck in that cycle. I think it starts with, you have to really look at, is this the rhythm I want my life to be? Is this how I want to live my life? Is this where I want to be in 5 months from now, a year from now? Because I've set the pattern in this relationship and it's not changing. You have to say, is this really how I want to live my life? Is this the level I want to live it at? And I think it starts with having a little self-compassion and beginning to talk to yourself the same way you would talk to your best friend, your daughter, anybody that's important to you in your life. And if they were going through the exact same situation that you were in a relationship, what would you say to them? How would you encourage them? How would you support them? How would you help them see the light within them and all the possibilities within them? And the thing is we've been taught or not taught, I guess, to talk to ourselves with self-compassion. So I think self-compassion is huge. Talking to ourselves as if we were our own best friend and really being our own best friend. Because we talk to ourselves in our heads and sometimes even out loud in ways that we would never even talk to somebody we didn't like, right?
Right.
Like getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and saying, you look fat today, right? Would you ever say that to a friend or somebody you cared about? Of course not, right? But we talk to ourselves that way. So I think self-compassion is number one. And that's key. So really learning to believe in yourself. And I think it's about learning to be happy alone. You know, be alone, sit with yourself alone. If you can't enjoy your own company, then how do you expect anybody else to enjoy your company long term? Right? So really learning to sit with yourself and enjoy being with you and enjoying your own company.
So what's your take on getting counseling or coaching or going to support groups to really do that inner work?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's, you got to start because we can't do it alone. We need the reflection back to us. We need the support. We need the encouragement. And we need to hear the same thing over and over again before sometimes it clicks. And sometimes we need to hear the same thing in very different ways before it finally clicks. So I think that's important. But the one key that I will say, no matter whether you go out and you get a life coach, whether you go to a traditional therapist, whether you go to some more spiritual counseling, if that avenue, if it's not about teaching you how to tune into your own intuition and to trust your own intuition and wisdom, then I would say that's probably not a good match. Because anything really great out there that helps support you teaches you to trust and tune into your own wisdom.
And so, you know, we know that the dating industry is a billion-dollar business, and I don't have anything against that, but I tell my clients, Lisa, that many times you go online, but your self-image and your vibration is, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough. And I would just encourage ladies and gentlemen to take that money and get coaching or counseling or support group and go inward, and then you will automatically attract who you are.
Yeah, so exactly. You're going to attract who you are. So if you're not instead of looking for what you want in somebody, start taking a look at what do I bring to the table, because that's what you're going to attract. So that oftentimes I see people say, I want this and this and this in a man, and I want this in a man. I'm like, okay, are you all of that? They're like, well, no. Right? So we attract who we are. We attract the same vibration level. So get clear with you and who you are and what value you bring. And anybody that really is in a place where they're ready for that love, this is a great tool, and I love this. So write a letter to yourself from the partner you desire. And it's the eve of your wedding. So imagine that the man you're in love with, the man you're marrying, is writing you a letter. And what would he say to you, and what would he say about you in this letter to you the eve before your wedding, right? Because then you really get into the vibration of what you really want and what that feels like, and how, and then it opens you to really receiving it. So it's kind of cool because you're kind of stepping into somebody else's shoes and how you want them to see you and feel about you and view you. And at the same time, you're having to receive that while you're giving it to yourself. So
yeah, I love that. I love that exercise.
Put it in a beautiful letter, you know, an envelope, nice stationery, and then just tuck it away somewhere special and forget about it.
And you know, a woman or a man who is really authentically purposeful and who they are, to me, they're very attractive. So how can we begin to retrieve and shine their authentic selves? What would that look like?
Wow, that's, I think it's about letting go of external approval. Right? That you don't live your life in fear of what others think. You don't live your life based on what your parents expect of you, your friends, your spouse, whoever. I'll tell you a funny story. When I launched my business about a year and a half ago, and I said, I'm going to write a book. I want to be a speaker, author, and a coach. And I'm going to leave my corporate job, and I'm going to follow my passion. My girlfriends were like, what? Really? Are you sure? You know, and I was so excited and so full of passion. And they were like, okay. But if I tell them I have a date, they're like, you got a date? really? Who's it with? How'd it go? What happened? Do you like him? Was there attraction? I'm like, really? You get more excited about like my holy grail is going to be found in some guy as opposed to me following my passion. And that goes right back to where we started the conversation, right, Constance? That it's everywhere telling us that we have to have a partner to be okay.
Right, right. I had someone contact me this week and said, I'm just so sad. I said, so why are you sad? She's 19. And she said, well, everybody has love. And she just went on and on. And since she's 19, I know she's been inundated with images and words and balloons and all of her friends. And she is such a powerful woman attending Spelman College, which is an elite, black college here in Atlanta. But she doesn't know how powerful she is, because once again she's looking outside of herself.
Yeah, and it's common. We're raised that way, right? Even sports kind of creates that, and that it's our achievements and our awards that tell us that we're okay. And that's where we have to do the opposite, because it's so opposite in Eastern cultures. But I think also I wrote about this in my book because it was so pointed for me. And I think about the Whitney Houston story, right? Here was this absolutely gorgeous woman, absolutely talented, absolutely successful, had the world at her feet, and she let that need for a dysfunction, a man, right? Bobby Brown, right? That relationship was so toxic, so destructive. And it was ultimately her downward spiral that took her, right? But it's so, even when a woman has all those things, like you just pointed out, they still think that it's outside of them to be okay with themselves. And so it doesn't matter how successful you are. And I even think about that. I was a dichotomy. And in my world, I was out there managing a $1 billion-a-year account. I was working in a male environment. I was confident. I was courageous. I would bite off more than I could chew, and I'd run through every door that opened for me, and I'd never looked back. But man, was I the opposite when it came to being empowered in the romantic relationship. I literally took my power and put it on a silver platter and gave it to the guy that, didn't even honor it anyway. So
yeah, and I see so many women dumb themselves down and not be powerful and awesome because maybe their mate or their boyfriend, it's not that powerful. And I was telling someone just this week that, man, God created you for a purpose. And so anyone who comes into your life will complement that and support that.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to share this because this is for anybody, whether you're in a relationship or not, and it really helps in the romantic relationship, but any relationship, you can apply to work relationships, any personal is. And I learned this from Brene Brown and something that she said, and I live by a motto now that I choose discomfort over resentment. So I've really learned that when something is bothering me or upsetting me, I have to have that uncomfortable conversation and express how I feel and put it on the table, because it's so easy to say, oh, it's no big deal, I'll just let it slide. It's no big deal. I'll just mm-hmm. put it down, that mm-hmm. sort of thing.
Right.
And then what happens? We have a river of resentment.
Right.
That starts flowing, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, a couple that started out madly in love because they weren't addressing their small things as they came up because it was uncomfortable to address it and to speak their truth, it creates a big divide that they can't get back to that love they felt because there's so much resentment built up over time. So I express to everyone, live your life, choose discomfort, a little discomfort on the front end to avoid a whole lot of resentment on the back end. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to speak up and to use your voice. And I think especially for women, it's even harder to really speak their truth.
It really, really is. So you talk, I want you to really elaborate on the difference between masculine and feminine balance.
Okay,
What do you mean that by? Do you mean men versus women, or what does that mean?
Yeah, so I think it really means we all have masculine and feminine strengths. So it's the yin and the yang, right, in the Eastern terms. But we all have feminine qualities and masculine qualities. And it doesn't have to be associated with men versus women. There's certainly most men are more masculine and most women are more feminine. But we're all about trying to reach a balance in that. So there's some great studies out there right now, for example, of what are the 10 competencies most desired for modern leaders? And this was a worldwide survey done of 64,000 people. And 8 of the 10 competencies are considered feminine and only two are considered masculine. So that's why I think feminine leadership is so critical. So on the feminine side, it's expressive, plans for future. She's reasonable, loyal, flexible, patient, intuitive, collaborative. And the masculine traits that are considered most desired for leaders are decisive and resilient, which are the things that women usually lack. It's the confidence and the courage to be decisive and to not be perfect and to fail and get up and do it again. So masculine and feminine, we all have a balance or an imbalance within ourselves, but it's not about how you dress or what your sexual orientation is. It's all about the feminine is, you know, in more spiritual terms, she's the intuitive. She's the wisdom, she's the love, she's the guidance, and the male is the action that takes action on part of that knowing, right? So if you just take masculine action without it being attached to more wisdom or intuitive knowing or caring about the greater good, then it's just action for the purpose of competition, being linear, being logical. It's just action for the sake of action, right? And it's more ego-based. Whereas when you look at if it comes from the feminine, it's really about love and the greater good. The problem is women have all of those things naturally, right? Mostly
right.
Emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. The intuition, they're more collaborative. They have that naturally, but women often lack the confidence and the courage to take action on it. So it's why we all have to find that balance.
So true. So how do we as women and men, how do we begin to follow our heart versus our head? I know you said that your heart said it was time for you to leave corporate America and start your own business, but your head and some of your friends might have said, are you out of your mind? Mm-hmm. So how do we begin to do that and how important is that?
I think it's critical because tuning in, you know, our greatest wisdom doesn't come from our intellect. It doesn't come from our left brain. Our greatest wisdom is being in our whole body. It's being still. It's hearing that intuition. It's hearing that knowing. So, you know, you can kind of be aware of information and then you have an understanding of it intellectually. But then when you really know something, it's like you just know it in your body. You just feel it. You don't even know why you know it. You just know what you know. And it's learning to trust that. But I think, you know, passion is... I'd like to say, you know, everyone needs to spend more time shopping for joy. You know, we spend all kinds of time shopping for other things, right? But shop for your joy. What lights you up? What is it that allows you to flow? What is it when you're doing it, you lose all track of time? What is it you can't wait to get back and do it some more, right? So when you find things that really bring you joy and bring you into flow, do them more and more because that's where the opening happens to where to go, to follow your passion and to follow your heart. So I really think it's about spending as much time as you can in your joy and in the things that flow. But also sometimes your passion can bring up another indicator is fear. Oftentimes we don't believe we're good enough or we're not deserving or it's scary to take the first step. And so sometimes what brings up fear for us, and I don't mean fear like, oh, an elevator door open and a scary guy in black with a gun is standing there. I mean real like fear that doesn't have any logical sense, but you think about doing it, and I'll use a silly example. It used to scare me to death when I traveled by myself for business to go eat dinner out by myself. Like silly fear, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh, people think I don't have any friends. People think, oh, look at her. She's all by herself. Isn't that pathetic? And I was like, and now I absolutely love to go to dinner by myself when I'm traveling alone. It doesn't scare me at all. But I had to push through that fear. But the point is that sometimes your passion is found in what brings up fear for you.
So true. And so, Lisa, if someone is currently in a relationship that no longer serves them, mm-hmm. I mean, they know it, they might have been in it for years. Yeah. Or if someone is awakening to, you know, this is dysfunctional, this is codependent, this no longer serves me, what should they do?
Well, I think the first thing that anybody can do to just start the process is begin to practice gratitude. And do it in a very formal way. Start a gratitude practice journal where every day you write down 10 things that you are so grateful for that day. They don't have to be big things. They can be because the sun was shining. They can be, I saw a butterfly today. I'm grateful I had my dog to walk with. It can be anything, but just starting to move your attention to what's right in your life, because the more we put our attention on what we're grateful for, the more the universe brings us to be grateful for. And so I think it's a great way to just begin, create a little momentum in your life and putting your attention on what's great in your life, and then it'll kind of give you a little boost to start.
And so are you saying that once they take their focus off of the relationship or what's not right or what's not going in that relationship and begin to be grateful for the good that they do have, that will begin to shift their consciousness, and eventually
exactly.
they can shift away from that relationship? And I always say, I never tell a woman to leave until she has the strength to leave. She'll have to know it's time for me to go, and she'll have to have the strength to do that and sustain that.
Yeah, it is. It's shifting your focus from the tension and the stress and the heartache of that entangled dysfunction of the relationship and bringing the attention back to yourself, right? And gratitude is a great way to start that process.
So true. So are you saying that we can create an engaged and powerful life with or without a partner?
Absolutely.
Okay. What would that look like?
If it's one of your greatest desires to have true partnership, to have true, healthy, loving partnership, I mean, there's no way you're not going to have it if it's your heart's desire. But are you going to attract what you want based on who you are today? And I think that's what people, we look at, you know, two halves don't make a whole. And that's it. We've been taught in romantic love, two halves make a whole, right? And it doesn't. Two halves make a dysfunctional, entangled partnership, right? That isn't based in love. But when you have two whole people come together, then it's just a gentle balance. And I had someone tell me, and I quoted this in my book a long time ago. He said, you know, we think that a partner is our holy grail. He goes, and all apart. He goes, you're already a cupcake. You're already a really yummy cupcake with icing on top, and you're completely fulfilled and enjoyable all as a cupcake. And all that partner can ever bring to you is a little sprinkles on top. Can you not totally enjoy a cupcake without sprinkles on top? And no, the sprinkles just add a little extra zest to your life.
So true. And you know, and it's too much pressure and focus and demand to put on one person to make you happy, to fulfill you, to support you. And so when you go in a relationship vibrating that, and it took me years to understand, you attract who you are, not what you want.
Yeah.
And so I love that about your book, about just becoming true to yourself and reclaiming your own authenticity. So are you ready for a relationship? Lisa Marie, do you desire a relationship? You know, I had to get in your personal business just a little
bit. Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting. You know, I've always desired like really true partnership. Mm-hmm. And I would say, honestly, it's not really been until the last few months that I feel like, wow, I'm so ready for that. And I'm so open to that. And my heart is ready. But yet now it's not a need anymore. Now it's almost like I can already feel him. I have a knowing, like, he's coming. He's around the corner. He's just going to pop up. And I've never had that before. It's always been a search feeling in the past. And this is the first time I don't feel search at all. I just feel, I almost feel like he's already with me. Isn't that interesting? So I am. I am. And I only want great. I won't set anything less than somebody that is as deeply committed to true partnership, and that meaning it's based in spiritual, right? That our always our primary relationship is whatever you want to call it, God, spirit, source. That's always my primary relationship. And whenever I take that and I project that to the man in my life and I make that a demigod, right? I make the guy, it never works. And like you just said, you have to take, men will be thrilled that women take this pressure off of them, that they have to fulfill them and they're responsible for their happiness. Because as long as we're doing that, we don't free them up to start exploring their masculine, feminine, and men have been so caged in from really exploring emotional intelligence and their feelings and their emotions. I mean, it's really kind of sad. And I'm just starting to see maybe on the millennial generation a little bit of shift. And you know, you can still be a guy's guy, but you're sensual and you're sensitive and you're tuned into the emotional side of you and your feelings.
And so this time, the principle is that Lisa Marie will be attracting from her being who she is and not necessarily a place of longing and want. Those are two different powerful vibrations.
Yeah. And I really feel that I've made a commitment to myself that I'm not even dating anyone ever again unless I feel unknowing.
Yeah.
When I meet them.
Because you're too valuable. Your time is too valuable. Your purpose is too valuable. And I think that women and men need to understand that. And what I did for years was I said I would rather be alone and purposeful than to have a relationship that dilutes or does not support what God has ordained or called me to do for this season in my life.
Yeah, that's
and so
huge.
I spent a lot of time one-on-one with God, just going inside, dealing with myself so that when I did attract love into my life, it came from who I was. And there is a universal law that says you attract who you are, not what you want. So if you want a certain, or if you desire something, a good looking man, a spiritual man, then you be those things. And by universal law, you will magnetize those things to you.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, well said. Well said.
So can we live happily ever after?
Absolutely. Because you are the one constant in your life, your whole lifetime, right? And you're the one you've always been waiting for. So why not make it you and your relationship to God, the universe, whatever word works for you, spirit, right? Because that's the key. Even if you met Prince Charming tomorrow and you had this fabulous, amazing relationship, he gets hit by a bus, right? Well, does that mean you're doomed to never be happy again? Right? Like, no. So it's really about waking up to yourself and that your beauty, you already are everything you could possibly desire in the world, and your service to the world and your passion or whatever lights you up, whatever gift you bring to the world. And I think every single person, every single listener right now, we are as unique as our thumbprint and our gift or our message to share with the world that somehow brings joy or harmony or healing to the world. We all have it. We all have that message or that unique gift, and we're meant to share it. And when we're aligned with that, we're so joyful. Like, yeah, I love this one. I'd like to have a partner, but I don't need a partner. And that's a big shift. It's turning a need into just a preference, right? Like, I'm going to go to dinner tonight. I'd really like to have sushi, but if we have pasta, that's okay too. But, so it's a preference instead of a need. And because it's, you know, the night before Valentine's Day, and it's also Saturday night this year, and it's date night, right, for all the single people out there, I would just like to say, whatever, if you had somebody fabulous in your life and you had a partner in your life, what would you want from them, or what would you want to be doing on Valentine's Day with them? Go do that for yourself on Valentine's Day.
So
buy yourself flowers, buy yourself chocolate, buy yourself a nice bottle of wine. Go have a fabulous dinner with a girlfriend.
Awesome. Well, Lisa Marie, we have about 5 minutes, and I want you to share with people how they can get your book. Are you doing any upcoming seminars, et cetera?
Yeah, so my book just came out on the 10th. So you can order it from Amazon. You can order it from Barnes & Noble or any independent bookstore. You can order it as well. You can also order if you want a personalized signed copy, you can order it from me at lisamariejenkins.com, and you can contact me there as well. And as far as anything upcoming, I've got a lot of book signings, a couple in Tampa, one in Dallas, but I also have, there's an online conference, and it's during the week of International Women's Week, and it's March 8th through the 13th, and it's a free online seminar. It's called Global Tech Voices, and even though it says tech in there, there are lots that you're discussing everything that has to do with women and women's issues and women's leadership. So, and it's all free. All you have to do is register. I'm speaking on that, and it's not technically related. It's called The Confidence Gap, and it's about the difference in men and women and the confidence and how we just need to boost a little confidence and courage in women to start bringing their intuition, to start bringing their emotional intelligence, and starting to shift and change and heal how we work, live, and play. And So with that, so that's the big one. So anybody is welcome to that. You don't have to be in high tech. Some of the it's 5 full days of presentation. So you can pick and choose who you'd like to tune in on, and they're certainly not technically focused. It's just where the market, it's based out of Silicon Valley. So it's called Global Tech Voices, and you can also find it on my website, lisamariejenkins.com, under my speaking schedule.
I just love your book. So, Lisa, in closing, what's one statement would you like to leave with people all over the world today?
You know, I'm going to forget who quoted this. His last name was Campbell, and he said it to Maya Angelou a long time ago, and the quote is, "Your crown has already been bought and paid for. You only have to put it on your head."
Wow. That almost brings me to tears. You know, that is very powerful. And I'm going to strongly encourage all of you to go out and get Lisa Marie Jenkins' book. I really love it. I think it's so powerful. And I believe that it will really help you to shift and change your consciousness. Well, once again, remember to visit my website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And, you know, I would love to partner and coach with you. You know, I coach people all over the world globally. And if you have something very interesting, a testimony that you would like to share with me, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And sometimes my assistant says, "Constance, don't forget to tell people to follow you on Twitter." So I'm telling you, and Facebook. And remember to go to loaradionetwork.com and click the link for the Law of Attraction magazine. We have some powerful articles in there by Jack Canfield, Joe Vitale. I've written a couple of articles, and your life will really shift and change. Well, as I say every week, happy Valentine's week to you. But I'm going to say to you, God loves you. I love you. And remember this, the best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com or send Constance an email at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Reach for the hand.